Good afternoon, and this is Patty Holstrom and this is KWOD Radio. We're on live today with Steve again. We had him on, about a month and a half ago on his new book, Aloha. And he just came out with the second book, he and his partner, Dennis. And this book is called Adios. And I really got a kick out of his idea and his idea on Aloha, and really looking forward to talking to him about Adios. Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am, Patty. It's nice to talk to you again.
Well, I have to tell you that I really enjoyed last time, and your whole idea is just, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to about it.
Oh, that's great. We have had an absolute fun time with this trilogy, and Adios has been even more fun than Aloha, because we continue to deal with these gigantic problems that the United States has, and with this president's administration, figure out new ways to solve them. And they're not always the way that normal people might think, but we have put together some pretty creative solutions to these problems.
It certainly gives some fodder for your story when you've got so many things that you can pull from.
Yes, it's been great in that regard. And it's been very topical. When we wrote Aloha, we did not have a clue that the national debt would be almost $15 billion by the time we got there, and yet that was something we created, and then we solved it by selling the Hawaiian Islands to the Chinese, and in Adios, we now go after the huge issue of illegal immigration and the Mexican drug cartels and their power and their influence on the United States and their tie to Al-Qaeda. So we've jumped off on another gigantic set of issues.
Well, that really is the sign of the times, is that things that you are going through with your book is definitely keys to some things that, you know, we've been talking about.
Yeah, they are all based upon kind of real issues, but we have with Adios, we have it continues with the saga that we created in the beginning. You have now, for the first time, an openly gay president in the White House. He's coming up on his second year of being elected. The question is, will the United States stand for a gay president that's come out of the biggest closet in the world? If so, what does it take to get him elected? And that's a part of what this book deals with. And it goes on to look at the effect of selling the Hawaiian Islands to the Chinese and its impact on the 1.5 million American citizens that live there, and how does this administration deal with that, and using what I will call a heroine and her two kids, we go after the Mexican drug cartels. We reveal a lot about them that we didn't even know when we started writing the book, but their power and their influence over the drug trade, human trafficking, and illegal immigration is pretty amazing. So that's all tied into this book.
Now let's backtrack a little bit, okay? For those people who have not listened to our first story, our interview a few months ago. Aloha came up. I mean, tell us about you and Dennis.
Well, Dennis and I are business partners. We have a human resource consulting company in California. Den is a very, very strong reader of fiction novels, and he probably reads two or three a week. And I read some of the same authors, but I might read two or three a month. But coming back from lunch last fall in September, a year ago, I had mentioned to him, I said, you know, Den, if you can ever come up with some wild, crazy idea that nobody's ever thought about before, I can write the book. And it wasn't more than 2 weeks later that he said, I've got it. And that was what started Aloha. And it just was, neither one of us would say we are a professional writer. Den's a very creative guy, and I can write, and off we went. And we'd never done it before. Now, when I finished the first book, Aloha, then he said, well, you're not done yet. I mean, we can't leave people just hanging there not knowing what's going to happen. So you have to write a second one. And when we finished with the second one, he said, oh, no, it has to be a trilogy. So that's how we got three books, and the third book is Goodbye, and it is being edited now, will be probably published in February. So it's written, it's being edited, and I think there are two or three people who now know how the whole thing ends, and I don't even think my partner is one of them. So it's been great fun.
Well, your editor always should find out first.
That's who should find out.
Yeah.
And it's just so we've had a wonderful go with our business, and this was just a novelty on the side that we said, you know, maybe we could do this, and maybe we could come up with it. And when we had these incredible subject matters going on with the national debt out in California, the Proposition 8 measure on same-sex marriage, which is working its way through the court system, we just suddenly had all this food for thought to be able to write a political thriller trilogy, and that's what we did.
You know, I was thinking what category your stories were, and I actually was thinking political satire, because you're kind of poking fun, yet, you know, like you said before with Aloha, you say it seems so outlandish, and yet you stop and you say, wait a minute.
That's right, Patty. We have had so many people, and I think a couple of them that have reviewed the book and left their comments on Amazon or wherever, have said, you know, I started out reading this book and it was kind of whimsical, and I thought, wow, this is just a crazy idea. And by the time I finished the book, I thought, you know, this isn't such a bad idea. We've always been a purchaser of property. What's wrong with selling an asset? And it got a lot of people thinking, and I think that's what we have tried to do with each of these. We're dealing with the out-of-the-closet president. That gets people thinking on both sides of the spectrum. And, of course, that's a national issue. And now with Adios, we're going right at illegal immigration. And how do you practically come up with a solution to that if you are a president that's in office? So.
Yeah. And, of course, that's specifically hot topic here in Arizona.
Yes, it sure is, because you're right on the border.
And
our solution and our president's solution is not to build big walls, but it is to come up with another way. And that other way is outlined in the book, along with this Bruce Gavins, who is the new president that beat Obama in the election. His political strategy, even though he's a Republican, is to ignore the far right and ignore the far left and put together a political strategy that the real people in the middle, who think pretty much the same, could accept. And that's the premise of how we did this.
So that brings me to think about this. You know, we talk a little bit about the fact that your idea of perhaps it would take somebody different to who thinks a little differently to be able to actually solve these problems.
I think you make a good point. I think that as we look at politics today, people are etched in one side or the other, and now one side or the other isn't two, it's maybe four, with those that are really etched in a philosophy and those that are kind of etched and on one side and the same thing on the other. So you almost need somebody who's willing to think way outside the box and is not going to be worrying about all of the political risks it takes to try to come up with a solution. So ours is pretty interesting. And in the last book, we haven't. In the last book, of course, we have to deal with another major topic that is going on, and that's wars and its effect on people and politics and the introduction of this terrible Al-Qaeda threat, which hasn't gone away. So we've kind of managed to overturn a lot of rocks here and come up with new ways to think about them.
It reminds me of my father said something today. He said that we're not allowed to say the word terrorist or terrorism. And I go, I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, are we going so extreme to the other side that we are now to the point where we can't even openly discuss these major issues that we need to discuss?
Well, I think there are some people that have gone way, way over to one side or the other.
Yeah.
And we've tried to ignore those points of view because they don't win, and to focus in on practical, kind of common sense, maybe out of the ordinary solutions to some of these big problems. And we've done it by knitting a story together that takes this president from the time he's born through the last book. I think Bruce Gavin in the final book is probably somewhere in his late 70s. So we've managed to go through a fair amount of time, and we did the same thing with the president of the People's Republic of China. One of the things that you and I talked about in our last opportunity to be on your show was the character development. And in Aloha, one of the things we had to do was to establish characters that would be lasting and had a trust. And you can't do that by not knowing a person. And so in Aloha, you watch these people grow up. You see how they've come together, how they met, how a trust is built. And it's out of that that some of these solutions occur. So when you get into Adios, it's a much quicker read in that you'll roll through it because it's you don't have to deal with the character introduction. You don't have to build them. You know who these characters are, and while there are new characters coming into the book all the time, the old ones are the ones that are kind of the skeleton, you know, that on which the rest of the whole body of work is based. So it's been really fun, and I think one of the best compliments we've had is a couple of people who have said to us, you know, I can see these people now. I know what they look like. You know, and that I think for somebody who's, you know, kind of a non-writer who wrote, that's what I was hoping I could do, is create an image that people could see and could believe that these were who these people were.
So the big question to me is, has anybody come forward and asked you to make this into a movie?
Well, interestingly enough, there were two or three comments on the website on Amazon that said this should be a movie. And we do know that one of the writers at Paramount looked at it and considered it and talked to her boss about it, but because she wasn't sure about political thrillers at this juncture, that they wrote a very interesting letter back, and it came through a family referral. And we've also had another inquiry by a company that makes movies in China, and they're out of Southern California, and I know that they have asked for both copies of the book and are reading them now to see if there is enough continuity that they could get a screenplay out of them. I have no clue if anything would ever happen, but I do believe that the content of the books, the trilogy, is the kind of a thing that could make for a very interesting movie.
Yeah, I can imagine that it would make an interesting July movie, you know, summer blockbuster kind of thing. That would be fun.
Yeah, it would be really fun. But this whole thing hasn't been about trying to sell a book or make a movie. It has been about a kind of a fun project to say, could we do this? And If so, would it be interesting? Would people really like it? And I think what we've found out so far is that people like it. People have had a great time with it. So that's just been the most rewarding part, I think, when you get a review. Even one of the reviewers that has a pretty extensive show rated it in the top 60 fiction novels of 2011, and he was talking about Aloha. So that was very, very exciting for us.
Well, I think that that is definitely true. That one thing that a publisher will look at is how timely the story is. Because even though yours is a fiction, they always say there's a truth is stranger than fiction type of thing. That's a saying. And so you would think, okay, yes, it is fiction, and you would think that it would need to be timely, but it is.
It is very timely. I think all of the subjects that we're dealing with are happening today. In fact, more so than we ever envisioned when Den created the idea. So it's been kind of remarkable in that regard, how most of this stuff has come true.
Yeah, I was watching The View the other day, and they were going after the fact that some of these new candidates have been married, you know, two or three times.
Yeah.
And I guess this wouldn't be a problem for for your President Gavin here.
No, I think part of the fun part of that is whether there has ever been a gay president or not, who knows? But in this particular case, our new president does come out of the closet, even though he'd been married for 30 years, but never understood his sexuality. And, of course, to make it even more complicated, he's in love with a Catholic priest in Washington, D.C. And yep. The storyline there is that if same-sex marriage is upheld by the Supreme Court, again, dealing with a real issue, then it's quite possible that the new president could marry the Catholic priest and we'd have the first man in the White House instead of the first lady.
That is, again, it's like, okay, this is probably a subject we're going to get, like, totally blasted for, but...
It's taking real issues and kind of blowing them up and making them. So, well, what happened if this did happen? I mean, this isn't out of the realm. We're not talking fantasy here. You know, there's millions of great people who are gay, and at some point, I mean, that they run companies, they run foundations, they are in the military. Why couldn't one be a president?
Yeah, I think, though, that the Catholic priest probably going a little over the edge there.
Yeah, I'm sure that we have offended a few people along the way, but that's the way it goes. We'll just have to roll with it. Hope more people giggle about it and laugh than take it so seriously.
Well, that's just it, you know, and that's why I think it's a fun idea. And again, fiction... You got to understand that people, that this is, they are real people that you're writing about, really. And so, because they're inside you. And
yeah, they are inside me. You asked me before, I think when we talked last, how I write. And the answer to it was, you know, I don't know. I never have an outline. I sat down with Den's idea, and I wrote the first chapter, which was maybe 7 or 8 typewritten single-space pages, and then I would stop and think about it. And one of the things that you have said before, and I have read, is you said, you know, if you're a writer, don't stop writing. Don't try to be an editor at the same time. Write, and then go back and edit. Well, that's basically what I've done. And then when I finished a chapter, I would sit down and say, well, what should happen next? And once I had it in my mind, I'd sit down and write another chapter. And it just so happens that each book is just about the same. I have 31 or 32 chapters in each book. Each book, I think, in a 6x9 book is about 260 or 270 pages, so it's a very easy two-night or three-night read. But I did not know in the beginning what these characters were going to do or what they were going to look like. But as I wrote, they were, as you said, inside of me, and all of a sudden, they're real people. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to have certain feelings about them, so that when you get into the final book and called Goodbye and certain things have to happen, you're not very happy about it as a writer.
No.
You know, I'm going, wait, I don't want this to happen.
Yeah, bad things have to happen because that's reality.
And you can tell that Den and I have had such a great time with this project, because on the back cover of the books where they have the pictures of the authors, in Aloha, as you know, we were in Hawaiian shirts with leis on, and in Adios we have sombreros and serapes, and in Goodbye we're in black golf shirts.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I'm not going to tell you what's in Goodbye.
Oh, well, of course not. You're going to make me wait. But that's what's fun about fiction, is that, and if you're a fiction author, it's like that. You start developing these people on the page, and they start writing it for you.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth in what you just said. At least that's my experience of what happened to me.
Yeah, and I've known some fiction authors who looked at me and said, well, you're crazy. What are you talking about? And I said, well, then, of course, I read their story and realized what the problem was. But
what you just described is exactly what happened to me. And then you build these people, and, you know, in Adios, you now have a new heroine. A Mexican woman who, because of the drug cartels, is now a single parent who has a mission, which is incredibly dangerous. And every step of the way, her life and that of her children are in danger. And all of a sudden, you know, you're really trying to think like, well, what would be going through this person's mind, and you become them.
Yeah, so to speak, that's true. That's true. And of course, you know, because you're taking a main character, you are part of that main character, even if it's a woman.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you try to understand what their fears are, what their concerns are. That kind of intensity has to come out as you build your storyline. And I think we got it pretty well in Adios. And I think in it we've created three or four more very memorable players that become a part of the world of this administration.
And you've got yourself a decent, a really good editor, by the way.
Well, we're learning. Den is an editor. He is the final editor of us. So we have two or three people that help us along the way. But Den's role was to create the idea and then let me write it, and then he does the final edit before we go to print with it. And it seems it works just very well. It's kind of how our partnership is already. Has worked so well over these last 18 years, where I have a certain skill base that's not his, and he has one, and there's total trust, and off we go. And that's kind of what happened with these books, is that he created the idea, I went out and wrote them, he edited them, and off we go.
And then, obviously, you're doing the marketing.
Well, I would love to say that we are. We have a publicist, Randy Feldman, who has been so helpful to a new writer. She is in Florida. I think she works with two authors at a time or thereabouts. Without a publicist, if you are a first-time writer, and you know because you've been in the business for quite a while, but for those of us who don't, it would be impossible to know what to do with a book. If you you're a writer and you suddenly think, gosh, I'm going to write a book and I'm just going to take it down to the bookstore and they'll put it on the shelf and it'll be a bestseller. Those are dreams that don't come true.
No, I know. And I keep
going. And it takes somebody who is knowledgeable that can get your book out in front of people, have us have the opportunity to talk to people like you, which we would have never known about, just wouldn't have had a clue. And for those that, you know, might think, well, here, the bookstore is going to display this as a local author and splash it all over. No, you might have the spine showing up on a shelf where no one's going to ever see it. So it really is important on how you market it. We have been lucky because the theme of the books is all so topical. And as you said, they're real issues today. So that helps.
Yes, and the fact that it's timely is really probably a key, and probably one reason why Randy had no problem saying, yes, I will definitely take this book or this series on and help you guys get it promoted.
Yeah, and she's been great. And I say that to anybody who asks me that, you know, if we wouldn't have known about Randy without another writer telling us that this is a person who might be really interested in your book. And sure enough, she was and has been most helpful to us. And boy, I'd recommend her to any new writer that wants to try to get some public exposure to what their work is.
And she's been in the business for a while, too. So that's
she has. Very much so.
You got to go with people who know what you're doing. And, you know, even if that is somebody who's been, like, clugging along, finding out things, as a lot of us have done.
Exactly.
And then, of course, share it with others.
Exactly. And, I mean, as a result of learning, we've created a website that's called AlohaTrilogy.com, where anybody can go there and read about the books, the theme, where this is going. They can blog with the new president if they want. All of that is all fun. They can see reviews of the book on the website. And these are all things we wouldn't have known to do. So that AlohaTrilogy.com is a good source. You can buy the books through there. It's all kinds of stuff.
Well, you're blogging with the president. That was an interesting...
You can blog with the president. With President Bruce Gavin.
There you go. And so that made it very... That's a different idea. It's a different idea than marketing. So, after goodbye, where do you go from here?
I don't have a clue. My commitment was to my partner to get this trilogy written. I think we'll just see where it goes. We have had so much fun with it, as I have said, that it's just been great. I mean, we have the three of us, I mean, that both of us have posters of the covers in our offices framed, and it's just been a great go. And whether we could do that again and repeat it, or whether we would try to carry on, we certainly have enough characters now that if I wanted to take off again, I could do it. But the final book closes a lot of chapters in this saga, and I don't know what will happen after that. I think time will tell. You know, as you said, wouldn't it be great fun if somebody decided, gee, I could take these and turn them into a screenplay? Then it would be really fun.
Yeah, and I really think that's probably going to happen. Again, because of the timeliness and things that are happening, they might very well want to change some things, but that's something that I know. I've talked to a lot of authors about that. I know a lot of sci-fi authors who have had their books made into movies, and they've all advised to, when that happens, let it go.
Yeah.
Because
I can see that you've done what you did to get the door open. Let them take it from there.
Yeah, and not to be offended when they change your characters and when they take out characters that you wanted in.
Right.
That's unfortunately part of the business.
Yeah, I think you have to have a little bit of a tougher skin when you are an author or an artist. I mean, you are susceptible to criticism. We've had a lot of people rate our book as 5 stars and say all kinds of wonderful things, but we've also offended a couple of people, you know, particularly when it comes to the gay issues in the Catholic Church, and that's
sure.
to be expected.
Oh, definitely be expected. And the thing is that no matter what you write, you know, I mean, look at the Bible.
That's right.
Yeah, you got people who love and hate it. So
That's right. We've had a lot more love on this deal than hate, but that's you certainly get both parts of the puzzle.
Yes, you do.
So.
And they also say that when it comes to getting, you know, reviews, that you really need to be kind of equal. So you need to have ones, and you also need to have fives. So that way people can really say, hey, they didn't have their friends writing these reviews. They had real people.
Yeah, that's for sure. I can guarantee you that my wife and daughter and son have not written a review and put it in the... But I'm sure a couple of them sound like it could be them. But we've had some great, great reviews come in on our book. And now I think there's even one in on Audios, and Audios obviously just came out. So I think someone has reviewed it positively. So it's good.
I just got it in my hands, and so it's been raining here in Arizona, believe it or not.
I wish you could send some of it to California. We have not had any rain, and
I'm
boy,
not sure.
Do we need it.
Usually, but, when you guys get rain in California, it eventually comes over here.
I know.
It's coming up from the south, apparently.
Yeah, we've had wind and dry. Everything's dried out, and no rain at all. And last year it was just the opposite. So,
it's been a weird weather year so far.
It is. We have a place up in the mountains, and last year we're at 7,500 feet, and last year there was 57 cumulative feet of snow at the place. That's how much snow we had in the Sierras last year. So this year, so far, not much. So.
And that's so strange, because here in Arizona, Snowball opened early. Three of the four mountains open early, which is unusual for us in Arizona. You know,
yeah,
we had snow in Scottsdale.
Amazing.
So, yeah, the weather changes and so does everything else. And a lot like the stories that you have here, you've got some deep ideas that some of it is just like you think is too far out there. But then you bring it in and say, well, wait a minute. This may very well be truth is stranger than fiction kind of thing. And,
yeah, I think you'll see in Audios we've introduced the possibility of Al-Qaeda and the use of a dirty bomb to kill people. And when you start to research that kind of stuff, it's so prevalent on the internet that you can almost learn how to do it. And I was amazed as I started reading about it. The same thing went about the research into the drug cartels. I mean, they're just not nice people. And
you realize that you're now on somebody's list.
Yeah. And you know, when you're writing, we try to capture as much kind of substantive fact as we can, just to make the story more interesting. So there were two subjects where you went, whoa, this is going to be different, and how do you make them the way they are in the reader's mind? And I think we did a pretty good job of that.
Well, that's the thing. Why would you? I mean, you dealt with some deep subject there, Al-Qaeda. Because that, of course, is so prominent in our society right now, our thoughts.
Right. Yeah, it's just another one of the topical subjects that are real. And, you know, the possibility of a dirty bomb going off is real. How to make them and how to do it, and gee, there are manuals that you could figure that out with, I think, off the internet now. So
I know.
It's pretty amazing.
I've had friends who actually pull those off.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, man, you guys are just on somebody's list, and I don't want to tell you.
And that's another thing about being a first-time author. You don't realize when you're writing fiction how much research you really do have to do to build a storyline.
You and I talked about that before.
And it's more than people think, and it's more than just Wikipedia. It's understanding kind of what's going on, seeing articles that are current, facts, and then trying to build them into your fictional story.
What I find is that the patterns, a fiction author sees patterns, and so when we start researching things and things start making sense, or little tidbits that we pull off and say, well, what if?
Uh-huh.
And then they start falling into, as I would put, our puzzles, pieces are coming together to make that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And even it's a scary one.
I think that's right. At least that's what we found, or I found, particularly in doing it. There's a lot of puzzle pieces, and they have to fit together. But you have them. It's a little bit like a puzzle where they're all loose and they have to come together at some point. So where do you niche them in? I mean, one of the criticisms I got, a little bit of constructive help in Aloha, was flashbacks. You know, you have to be careful not to have too many where people get confused. But on the other hand, this is not a story that I could write that was a straight start and go straight to the end. You had to go from one country to another, from one player to another. And you know, there is a tendency that you could get too many of those, which would be confusing. And we tried to not do that as much as we could in terms of too many of them, but we definitely have them, and we have to have them in the way that my writing style worked.
Well, I think that what you're doing is you're writing like you would, like as if you were writing for a movie. So you're seeing it in your mind and you say, well, I've got to go flashback here because we need to get some backstory.
Yes, I think that's right. That's right. You're reading my mind today. Yeah, I think that's true. I do. It has to be filled in, and it has to be complete. So
that's one of the fiction author's arsenal is flashbacks.
Yeah,
but I agree. If you have too many, it gets confusing.
It does, and I've tried to learn as I've gotten help in that regard. I think we're much better than I was in the very beginning because I didn't even know what I was doing. We're proud of both books, and I'm tickled about the last one and how we draw this whole thing to a conclusion. So. It's
that
been
is amazing,
fun.
Isn't it? Here you've gone through this journey, with these characters, and all of a sudden the picture, as we put it, all the pieces are coming together in the third book.
Yes.
If you did it right.
I hope I did. It does. The other thing that we've had great fun with is the cover of the books. We on Aloha, you have the beautiful white sandy beach with the wave coming in, and the island scene, and right in the middle of the beach is a for sale sign.
It's simplistic, yet so effective.
And in Adios, you have a single woman with a boy on one hand and a girl on the other, looking out at a desert at a road sign that says Portland, Oregon, 1,100 miles, and the other one points the other way. It says drug cartels everywhere. Great.
It looks like Arizona you're looking at there.
Well, when you see where they cross, maybe that's the case.
Yeah, that's just fun. That's fun. It's fun to be a fiction author, and that now that you have been bitten by that, I have a feeling that you're going to wind up seeing characters in your head and seeing other stories come to pass in the future for you.
Who knows? It could be. This one has sure been just great. I don't know how else to describe it other than fun. It just, you know, if we sell some books, wonderful. But it's been a really great time, and you know, a lot of the things that you knit into your stories are things that you've experienced in your life, geographic locations, things that are important to you along the way, things that you've been interested in, kind of all get included along the way, and that's definitely true with me.
Our biases, as well as things we love and hate, you know, they all seem to get in there one way or the other through one character or another.
Yes. That I think that's true, and you know, I've really enjoyed the continuity of the new president's staff and the role that they play in helping him be the best that he can be. That is a whole new, I didn't know how that was all going to work out, but he has to have a chief of staff. There has to be a huge amount of trust. I made his chief of staff a woman who went to Stanford with him. Brilliant, not particularly attractive. Very, very with it, tough lady. We combined in his administration people that had rocket science brains with people that were street smart and didn't go to school. So, and they all respect each other for what they bring to the table, which is also another nice thing.
So, one of the things we haven't talked about yet is immigration.
Yes.
How did you kind of handle that?
Well, I can in the book, I can tell you what our idea is, and then it gets all fleshed out. But basically, the way it gets handled in the book is that anyone who is in the United States today is here. They also will be issued a national ID card that every single person will have. The national ID card has on it your identification with picture, fingerprint, or whatever else is on it. I don't even remember how. But you can't do anything without a national ID card, meaning you can't get on a bus, you can't buy groceries, you can't do anything unless you show your national ID card. For those that are here, and because you're getting issued a national ID card, you're also being issued a Social Security number, which you have got to start paying taxes immediately on any income you make in the United States. You have, if you're illegal, 2 years in which to attend the government's seminars on becoming a citizen. And you must attend those things, and you must become a citizen within a two-year period. If you don't, your ID card will expire, and you will be unable to do anything in the United States. So what we did is we created a situation where if you're an employer and you hire anybody who does not have a national ID card, then and that comes out, which it will, then because the other employees would probably report them, you would be warned once, and if in fact you continued to do it, you'd lose your business. And so we took a very tough stand, but we did it by not saying we have to kick people out that are here. We did it by saying, okay, people are here, they're human beings, they have children, they have feelings, they have all of these other things. Yes, they may have gotten here illegally, but that's the way this country was built, is with a lot of immigrants. So what we're saying is, make them a citizen, make them start paying taxes, and make it so that you've got an ID card that simply can't be forged and changed, and it becomes part of the culture. So, whole different approach.
Hmm. And that's a really interesting way to do it, because again, like you said, people are people and they're humans, and we need to treat them like that. And they're here already.
That's what we did. We said, okay, let's find a common sense approach to this. Let's not build bigger walls. Let's not jump up and down in this administration, in our book, and say, out with them all. You know, let's be real here. And
right.
Let's try to say, we need income, so we get income by taxes.
Right.
So if somebody's working here illegally, we want them paying Social Security. We want to pay them into the system.
Right.
So that's
okay.
How we've done it.
And that's probably wise. The only thing is that I would have changed is that if they do an ID, there's always going to be somebody who can get around that. So they're going to absolutely probably change the ID on a regular basis.
Well, I leave that to the people who are really bright. We just kind of try to figure out how we would do it. And then we say this is an ID that can't be forged. It can't be. So it's got all kinds of whatever it has to have on it.
So as you say that, I know at least 6 people personally trying to find a way to do that.
So, again, it's just Stephen Den trying to create creative solutions for today's problem and have our fictional administration solve them. I mean, there are issues that will carry on in Adios that are very important. If you sell China, if you sell Hawaii to the Chinese and the Chinese are taking it over, then so is their educational system, which is totally different than the U.S. educational system. So how do you do that? How do you transition in without huge amounts of conflict and protest? So how do you integrate that? What would it take to make that happen? And could it happen? So we're solving those issues as we go along in the book.
There's a lot of really tough issues. I mean, gun control is a particular issue right now. And, of course, if you have the cartels, you've got gun runners as well.
Yes.
Not just about drugs, it's about guns as well.
Yeah, the cartel that we create in our book has specialties, and one of them is weapons, and one of them is human trafficking, and the other one is drugs. Mm-hmm. And with those three, you pretty much touch all the bases.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So your political views, particularly, are you trying not to lean one way or the other? Are you trying to be like your character, right in the middle?
I think so. You know, I think the older that you become, and I just turned 65, so my wife and I now have a Medicare card. That I think we, those of us that have been around for a while, become more issue oriented. We're not labeled a Republican or a Democrat, and we're not willing to just march down the road that some political party says this is the road you will march on. I think we're much more issue oriented. And I think that in my own life that I find that I'm much more issue-oriented and trying to come up with, what makes logical sense here? And what I just heard, building a bigger wall to stop immigration, doesn't make logical sense to me. So then you go, well, what does? And so I think part of the philosophy of that comes across in our books is there's some of that. I mean, I don't think we sat around thinking very hard about it. It just kind of came out of my head. But I think that as in my own sense, I think I'm far more issue oriented. I mean, I have strong feelings about certain things that Democrats like, and I have strong feelings about certain things Republicans like. So I'm not either one or the other.
So when this story came out and you were developing it, you'd sit down with Dennis and say, "Hey, I got, you know, these things I want to flesh out with you," and
no.
Did you guys talk about it? No? Really?
No, we didn't. He came up with a broad idea at the beginning of each book. And he said, "Okay, I think now we have to deal with drug cartels and the dirty bomb issue. The rest of it is all out of my head. The same thing for Adios. We're gonna sell the Hawaiian Islands to the Chinese, and you'll just figure out how that happens. and it's going to get us out of national debt because we're going to get $13 trillion for it in cash, and the national debt's going to be $15 trillion by the time you do it. No, the rest of it is just out of my head, and then when Den comes back in, he edits. So, and we didn't, we haven't talked through the book anywhere along the way. It's exactly as I said in Goodbye, even though the first two editors have been through it. He has not done the final edit, and therefore he hasn't read the book yet.
So he doesn't know what the ending could be.
He doesn't know what's going to happen. And I keep laughing at him. I said, "You haven't got a clue how this thing ends." That's great.
Well, I find that it's good sometimes to have an author, another writer around me. That I have for partner, and we kind of kick around ideas, and you know, I'll flesh out, like I have a brand new series that I just started, and I start talking to him about these key elements, and he starts talking and going like, no, it can't go that way because of this, you know.
I didn't have that you know. You'd say a co-collaborator. Yes, that's true in the beginning because he gets all the credit for the idea. But once that happened, then my head took over, and that was just sit down and write. And when I finished the first one, he said, "Oh, you're not done. Sit down and write some more." So it's been really, really fun.
So there's no particular subject so far that he has said, "Boy, this is going to be." We might very well be crucified for this.
No, in fact, I think one of Den's great kids is gay and very successful in New York, and therefore I'm sure that's why Prop 8 came out, and his idea bank was based on his own experience to say, "Hey, this is real. This is a real issue. My kid's a good kid. I mean, let's introduce a character that is gay," and so. It all kind of comes from, you know, you think with what you know, and, yeah. You know, I think that's part of where some of his thinking has come. So it just so happens that we've kind of hit on all of these national issues that this new president and his staff are trying to deal with. I think one of the most fascinating side of the Adios is how does the guy get reelected? In Aloha, there is a deal done because he needs to have Senate approval in the United States to sign a treaty that will be held in law. And without that approval, he can't get it. Well, when you've been flushed out of the biggest closet in the world, and you've got 30 senators from the South that aren't very happy about that, how do you get the approval? What are the trade-offs? And how do you get reelected? And, you know, there are those issues that are very, you know, real issues that could happen today in our political system. So here we dealt with them. And that requires a political strategy. How are you going to get him reelected? And what were the terms of the deal that he did? And so on and so forth.
Those pieces that we were talking about.
All the pieces, exactly. Exactly.
Is there anything that you, as we're coming on near the end of our hour here, and the question is there anything that you didn't touch on as being political issues of today that you either avoided
or wish you could have gotten to?
Great question. I don't know the answer to that because I've never really sat down to think, did we miss any major issues that are at the forefront? Because we got the national debt, we got the problem associated with Mexico and the drug cartels and illegal immigration and all the impact that's having economically on us. We definitely got the war. We definitely got the terrorism side of that, in all of which are real problems. We got the gay issue in. So I think in the course of the books, we haven't missed too many things that were that are critical that we haven't tried to deal with. Although we didn't ever sit down and make a list, I think pretty much we may have touched on most of them. And in the political strategy that Bruce Gavin and his staff set up, it touches on every single major issue that's going on that the electorate is interested in. So we've tried to touch all of those along the way. Some of them we didn't deal with other than basically on the surface, but they're in the book. Okay. You know, huge wealth differences between the 19-year-old kid that signs the $87 million basketball contract when he hasn't been able to get through high school versus the guy that graduated from Stanford and is trying to find a job. You know, those are real strange anomalies in our system, and I didn't get into some of that as much as I could have at certain times, but those are issues that are there.
Right, but most people read it and say, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but, you know, that's as far as we get with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I was thinking of something more deeper, but yeah. So obviously you had to deal with the religious issues.
Yes, that's. I think that's. I had to create fictionally, and I think that's really important. You know, I had to create a scheme whereby a young boy who's very religious and wants to be a part of the Catholic Church, but I couldn't ignore all of the issues around kids and Catholic priests. So how do you deal with that? Well, I think we dealt with that pretty interestingly in Aloha. And for those that haven't read it, I mean, they'll see, you know, kind of a different spin on retaining your celibacy. So, you know, we didn't shy away from too much.
No, I guess not. So you obviously didn't get this book, you said, in hardcover and paperback.
And on Kindle. Both books are available, hardcover, paperback, Kindle. Just go to Amazon.com, type in Aloha or Adios, and Anna or Wooten, E-N-N-A or W-O-O-T-T-E-N, and they will pop right up. They're also available on Kindle. The website that we mentioned again is AlohaTrilogy.com. We'd love it if people would blog with the new president about issues and get his points of view. But that's pretty much it. We are thrilled once again to be asked to be a part of your show. We can't tell you how much, and you seem to be reading my mind today, so that's good.
People do that. People tell me that. They say, well, how do you – it's conversation. We have a conversation.
Yeah.
So that they don't feel you know, like I'm attacking. And I say, well, that's not really what it's about. It's about a normal conversation between two people who have, you know, we have views of your story here. So that's great.
Yeah,
for anybody else who wants to know, I've got this on chat. AlohaTrilogy.com, so that way you guys can click on there and be able to find him. I will also in a few minutes be able to get his direct link on Amazon, so that way you guys can get the book directly, or both books directly, so that way get right there and buy it now.
That's great. And I would tell them all, please watch for the final book in the trilogy, which will probably be in February. Goodbye.
Well, I know I'm reading Adios, and I plan on reviewing that for the newspaper that I am managing editor for now.
Oh,
and,
great.
So, yeah, these are subjects, even though they're science fiction and fantasy, speculative fiction readers, they're widely read people. And so they like this kind of controversial type of story. And I often say, well, it has anything to do with science fiction. Well, what are you talking about? His ideas are just outlandish enough to be, you know, stranger than fiction. So to me, that's speculative fiction.
That's great. Well, once again, I'm just very thankful that you were nice enough to invite us back. And I hope I get a chance to laugh with you on how this whole thing works out when Goodbye comes out.
Definitely. And to finish the books before I interview you next time. But that way I'll say, hey, now we got all three. And let's talk about what you did here. So awesome. I'm
that would
looking
be great.
Forward to it.
Be great. Well, thanks, Patty.
Thank you, and tell Dennis hello. And
I will do that.
You guys have a great night, okay?
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Steve, and we really appreciate him coming on and being with us today on our show from KWOD Radio. And this is Patty Hulstrand. I'm going to take a brief break here as I get some information on here for you on the chat. And also, I'm going to give you Steve's Facebook pages. He's attached to me there. And talk a little bit about you know, some of the things that are other stories and other shows that we have coming up in a few minutes here. So let's take a brief break now.
This is KWOD Radio, and this is Patty Holstrand, and I'm on again. I gave you guys a lot of links there for Steve and Dennis and his and their books, Aloha and Adios. First, you got the Aloha's, you know, the book from Amazon, the print book, and then of course you've got the Kindle information there, and as well as the Steve's Facebook page, because he's attached to me on Facebook. So we'd like to say again, thanks, Steve, for coming on, and we wish you guys all the luck when it comes to this, getting this story out to you know, in the third issue, and also definitely would love to see this on in the movie. And I think that it's definitely timely, and it's something that we could definitely get into. Be a lot of fun. But the thing is, that I'd like to know is there anything that blows up? Because, you know, if it's going to be a summer blockbuster, we got to blow things up. So I sure hope in your third book, Goodbye, that you have a lot of things that are blowing up. Because, yeah, we need that in order to actually be a real action-packed thriller. So the question is, one thing that I wanted to bring up is, at the end here, is that one thing that we're talking about, timeliness, and the other thing we're talking about, even though it's fiction, you need to do research. And that comes up an awful lot. A lot of people talking to me about, well, you know, they come up to me and say, well, you're just a fiction author, says you don't do any research, you just sit down and create the story. I do know some authors who can definitely just sit down and create a story, and but again, it comes from keys from things that they listens and hears in conversation, and when that happens, he's able to pull out little things that he hears and things that he's witnessed and come up with a story, and that would be Charles Burgess, and we will be talking with him again tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock Arizona time. And that would be, you know, it's 3 o'clock California time, and it'd be an hour later. See, that would be 5 o'clock Wisconsin time and 6 o'clock Eastern time for those friends that we have in Chicago and Illinois, hey, and also our friends and the other side. We've got lots of friends in Philadelphia, hey, Mike, and we also have friends in, you know what, my brain just went and just totally shut down. But we say Cotton and Deanna and that's just it. I just can't remember. So, hey, you're our friends, and we know where you are. And we say, hey. So we wanted to say that when it comes to developing a story, that sometimes you have to, little things that you have going on in your life during the day wind up coming out in your story, and you can sit down and write it. But even though Charles writes on the cusp, as I put it, he sits down and he starts writing, and pretty much until he's done with that story or halfway in between it, and then he lets it go for a little bit, and then goes and does something else, and then comes back to it. The thing is that there's still some things that he has to go back and double check on. He likes to use a lot of musical groups and songs and things, so that way those reader will know what time period he's talking about, and it'll get understanding of the character because of the music that the character likes, and so we get to know them that way. Well, you still have to double check on things like, you know, names of the groups and the song titles need to be correct and these kind of things, because I have to tell you that the readers catch these things. So even if you don't have to research something, you still need to go back and in the editing process, double check
of your facts, and one of them is obviously getting names and places correct. So either way, you're going to have some kind of research that you need to be doing. If you're doing historical, obviously, if you have any kind of historical, and even if you're changing history, you still, as I put it, as I write time travel, and it's historically based. And I often laugh about it and say, well, you know, you have to know what your history is, because say, well, did you know this happened and that happened that time? Yes, I do. I do know that happens, because, you know, you need to know your history before you can screw it up. You need to know what happened in that time. The river didn't go that way in that time. Yes, I know that, because actually I can tell them that the actual year that it had diverted. So you're prepared. You know things that happened, and you know things. Well, yes, the river did divert, but not until 200 years after my character's gone. So then you got them off guard. It's like, oh, it was in, you know, 1789. It's several hundred years later. So you're prepared to say, yes, I know that I change it because of this. I change, you know, some things that you have to change if you're doing altered history. And it's not going to be exactly the way it was written in history books. So you have to come up with all the reasons why that happened the way it did. And keep track of why those things happen. And like I often have a couple of files which I keep track of the places which I find a lot of this information. Encyclopedia Britannica. I don't always go for Wikipedia because it's not always right. We often find that because people can write in it, it's not necessarily true. So that's not the best place to get our facts. Also, being from a journalism background, it's always good to check your facts twice. So that's my key for you guys today, and that's my ending to the story that we're talking about Steve and his second installment of his book, Adios, to go with his really tongue-in-cheek story, Aloha. So with that, I'm going to end the evening a little earlier, and go off and have my dinner. So, this is KWOD Radio, and this is Patty Holstrand signing out for today, and I really enjoyed the discussion with Steve again, and we look forward to seeing his third installment in February. And with that, have a good evening.
Just in-